So this is Liz Hall, the editor of Coaching at Work, and I'm delighted to introduce Rachel Ellison. Rachel is a former BBC News correspondent, and she was awarded an MBE for her work empowering women in Afghanistan and for human rights. And she's also, well, she's now a highly sought after leadership coach. She's known for her challenging and creative style. Writing a book, Rachel, at the moment, which is published in July, on the search for excellence in leadership and a call for higher ethics in leadership. What's the title of your book, Rachel?
The manuscript is in. It will be published in autumn 2018, and the working title is International Leadership and Coaching, A Global Story.
Wonderful. And I did have a little sneak preview of the introduction. I must admit, I'm really excited to see the book. It's very rich offering with lots of inspiring stories, so I personally can't wait. You're a regular contributor to Coaching at Work, and you're coming this even bit, you've actually been one of our cover girls, so that was quite exciting to finally pin you down. And you're presenting at the Coaching at Work annual conference on 4th of July in London, and this session is called Coaching on Location. Now, I know you're very creative, so it doesn't surprise me that you would attend to all the different ways to bring coaching to life. But some people might say this is a bit of a gimmick. What do you say, Rachel, to that?
Well, I think they're right to say that. I think they're right to suspect that. I think they're right to challenge it. Pure coaching should be a conversation with a purpose and an outcome. And there is a risk that if you start introducing tools, gadgets, distractions, that in fact you become anti-task, or that your gadget, your tool, your technique, your model becomes a cover for poor quality or mediocre coaching. Mm-hmm. And what I do is offer a face-to-face conversation in the pure coaching sense, a private conversation, a non-judgmental conversation, a confidential conversation. And once that rapport and that work has been started, I sometimes offer people the chance to coach in a bit of a different location, like an art gallery, or walking along by a river, or in a green open space, or in a lounge. And these are public spaces, but with a private vibe. And I think that's important. We don't need to, as coaches, stick to the strict therapy rules of a private consultancy room, although many coaches do that, and I applaud them for that, and I totally support that. What I found is that clients would book rooms in their workplaces, and then someone would burst in, interrupt, overbook the meeting, or wave as they went past because they were the next meeting and the room had glass walls. And so my creative approach, which has now become integrated into my practice, was at first a practical solution to a practical problem, which is people didn't have anywhere to actually coach.
Right.
They didn't want to go far from their office. So that was the first bit. The next bit was, are you using an interesting location to distract from the fact you haven't got anything to talk about, you don't know what to ask the client, maybe the client's even avoiding talking about the thing that they need to work on, or are you using it as a vehicle for iterative, generative, and new thinking and stretch for the client? And I argue in my talk that that is what I'm doing.
Brilliant, brilliant. So can you give we haven't got that much time to go deeper and people will have to come to the session to find out much more, but can you give me just one little example of how it's made a real difference with the client choosing a location that's something that, you know, perhaps a bit different?
Well, the client that I asked kindly to offer a case study for the purposes of learning, mm-hmm, stood in front of a painting in the National Gallery in London, and it was a painting of a lion with a dog at its heels and the two were chained together. He extrapolated from this that he was the lion with a wild side that couldn't be tamed or that shouldn't be tamed. This linked into his domestic situation, his feelings related to his upbringing. It linked into his behaviour at work, which sometimes got a bit lavish. I wondered, does that make me the dog? Is it the other way around, that he's the dog, but he would like me to think he's the lion? So it created a possible discussion that was much deeper, much faster, and that the client said accelerated his learning and accelerated the depth of his learning. So he argued that this really helped. The job of the coach is to be incredibly rigorous, mm-hmm, in not allowing appreciation for art, or the fact that a school trip might all walk past in the middle of a discussion, to keep it focused on a goal and to ask the painting, or rather ask the client, how that painting that they have, that's clearly resonated for them, how that serves their goal, how that enables them to act in relation to their goal, how they are going to move forward because of that painting, not avoid the very work they need to do because of that painting.
That's really fascinating. And I'm just sort of wondering, what's the most unusual place you've coached somebody?
I would say the Four Seasons Hotel in Damascus, Syria, over Skype.
Gosh, very interesting.
We couldn't meet because it was too dangerous. I couldn't be flown out and the client couldn't fly herself out. And we could hear, she was sitting on a bed, which makes me feel a bit funny as a coach, because that's a bit sort of inappropriate, and we're not doing Freudian therapy, which would involve a couch, not a bed. So there was that kind of element of inappropriateness, and she's sitting there in a headscarf, and we can hear thuds of missiles and rockets explosions going off. And she showed me outside the window, she could see stuff, and her part of Damascus is safe, and see the part that wasn't safe. And we were coaching with the bombs going off.
Gosh.
In the middle of a civil war. So I would say that's one of the strangest arrangements, even though we weren't actually both able to share the same location.
Wow. Gosh, that's, very intense experience, I imagine. Wow. Well, Rachel, I'm so looking forward to hearing more, but our time is up. So thank you very much for making the time today. And we'll see you soon in July.
It's lovely to be part of it, and it's lovely to be bringing learning generously offered by some of the leaders that I've coached, that helps all of us, I think, investigate ourselves, learn more and challenge harder as coaches.
Absolutely. Lovely. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.